Michigan's county health officials find themselves in a strange spot this week. The state's new budget, signed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, threatens the funding of local health departments that implement school mask mandates. But at the same time, the governor says, don't worry, it's an unenforceable provision.
We've consistently said I'm not going to let anyone get in the way of locals making determinations to keep people safe, and that's the case.
Okay, so no if, ands, or buts, there's no... It's just straight up, they're getting the money, they're getting all that money because the language is not enforceable.
Correct.
So is it okay for counties to set their own school mask mandates or not?
She's trying to signal to these local health departments and school districts that their funding is not in jeopardy, even though she signed the budget. But not everyone has heard that message, apparently.
That's Jonathan Osting, a state politics reporter with Bridge, Michigan. We're talking today about what this mixed messaging will actually mean for public health policies on the ground. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Political watchers were expecting Governor Whitmer to veto this provision. It forbids county health departments from enacting school mask mandates at risk of losing their state funding. So why would Governor Whitmer sign the budget that includes this rule when she herself has supported mask rules for K-12 schools?
Well, she signed the bill because it included a lot of priorities of hers, things she really wanted. For instance, it has $1.4 billion in federal stimulus funds for a big child care expansion program that she has been pushing. So it's got a lot of things she likes. She does not like this language, and while she didn't veto it, she couldn't really, technically. What she did instead is she issued a letter saying she finds the language unconstitutional and therefore unenforceable.
It seems like what we're reading into this is a tacit message that Whitmer was well aware of the provision. This was not a mistake, but there was an agreement of sorts with Republican leadership that it would stand in the budget. However, Whitmer would issue this statement that she thinks, yes, it's in there, but it's not enforceable. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah, that's right. Basically, you know, they said they negotiated every part of this budget, but just agreed to disagree on certain aspects of it. And this is certainly one of those. And I will say this happens fairly regularly. Almost every budget I've covered has had some language in there that a governor, not just this governor, declares unenforceable or unconstitutional. For instance, Republican lawmakers for years have put legislation language in budget bills trying to limit funding to universities who conduct stem cell research using potentially aborted fetal tissue. So that is a shot at University of Michigan that is sort of on the forefront of stem cell research. But every governor who has ever signed a budget with that language in it has said it's unenforceable. And that's what Whitmer is doing now with this mask language as well.
That said, this is no normal time for Michigan's counties that are still dealing with the pandemic, and it's created some confusion among the health departments. What is the fallout so far? How are counties reacting?
Well, even before the governor signed this budget, one county in the Upper Peninsula Delta already announced that they were going to rescind their mask order for schools because they were concerned about the funding implications. Yesterday, Wednesday, a second health department did that in Berrien County. They said they're aware that the governor believes this language is unenforceable and unconstitutional, but they haven't seen that proven in the court of law. Therefore, out of an abundance of caution, they too are canceling their mask mandate for schools. Now, I'll say first, I'm not an attorney, but as I noted, these sort of unenforceable declarations by the governor are fairly common practice. And in fact, what they are is a signal not just to the legislature, but to the administration, the governor's own administration, that they should continue sending out funds regardless of what this language says. So I don't think funding for any local health departments is actually in jeopardy, but it seems like this language has at least led to enough concern from two, maybe more counties might follow that are pulling back their mandates at this time.
Have you been able to learn anything about what, if anything, Whitmer's administration is communicating to the counties about their concerns over funding or just what their responsibilities are right now?
You know, that's a very good question. I am not sure about the Whitmer administration directly. I can guarantee that the Michigan Association of Counties, you know, their lobbyists in Lansing are well aware of the fact that this provision is considered unenforceable, and we're probably aware of this for weeks. So I'm sure that message is out there, but that doesn't mean, you know, health departments, which maybe aren't used to being in the middle of this kind of high profile budget fight, aren't going to still be concerned.
Jonathan, much of the debate around masking in the past few weeks concerns Michigan schools, especially in some of these counties where masking has been controversial, in spite of the fact that we know that the best medical information right now is that masks do help prevent the spread of COVID. How does this flip-flopping of the guidance, does that put schools in a bind in these counties?
Well, I think certainly it sends a mixed message to schools and health departments, this little budget debate here. And perhaps, you know, that was part of the goal for Republicans here, even though they know the governor was going to declare this unenforceable. They oppose universal masking mandates in schools. They've tried to pursue legislation to ban them, but of course, Governor Whitmer could simply veto legislation. So they tried to put it in this budget bill as sort of a statement, and apparently that statement has been heard. And I think it's not only for officials, but for activists as well. I mean, it is anti-mask activists who have been flooding these local meetings. I mean, in Berry County, not Berrien County, Berry County, a local citizen tried to perform a citizen's arrest on the local health director there just a week ago over masking and quarantine rules. So there's been a ton of public pressure on these health departments, and now this confusion, I guess, gives them an opportunity to try and maybe pull back some orders and just get out of the way here.
We've been talking about the counties in which there is a lot of anti-mask pressure, but do you see any indication from some of the larger counties that have enacted mask mandates without reservation, Washtenaw, Wayne County, Oakland County, about how they're viewing the budget deal? Are they taking the governor at her word?
It seems like it. I mean, so far, it's been more rural areas where there has been incredible backlash. I mean, in Delta County up in the UP that did this last week, there was a whole lot of criticism heading towards the local health director from even the local commission. So, I mean, you know, these folks have been taking heat for a while now in some of these more rural communities especially. I mean, certainly it's happened in Kent County as well, but, you know, I think in those areas they have a little more buy-in from residents and from local elected officials as well who are supporting decisions of the health department and health director.
All in all, Jonathan, does it seem like there might have been a missed opportunity here from the governor to communicate her plans or the politics around this? I know we've been doing a lot of inferring in this conversation.
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, she could have been out front a little more on this. I will say her office did issue multiple statements over the last week to the press anyways, trying to essentially telegraph what she was going to do here by declaring these provisions unconstitutional and unenforceable. But, you know, not everyone reads the press. And also, you know, some of those statements came out over a busy week when a lot of politics policymakers were up at the Mackinac Policy Conference. So perhaps, you know, the word didn't disseminate as widely as they'd hoped. But certainly, it appears not everyone got the message, or if they did, they still weren't convinced by what the governor's office said.
You know, it's not exactly news to say that the Republican leadership in the legislature and the governor have been at odds over COVID health policies over the past 18 months. At the same time, does this seem to you like a new level? You know, they disagreed at many points during the pandemic, but now even when they agree on the budget, they're just talking past each other in a way we haven't seen before.
You know, I don't actually think this is that big of a indicator of tensions. I mean, the fact that they completed this budget, I think, is a bigger deal than the dispute over language that I think both sides knew going in was going to be declared unenforceable. Essentially here, you know, they agreed to disagree, and that gave Republicans the opportunity to tell their constituents, their voters who wanted them maybe to do this stuff, look it, we tried, we put this in the budget. It also gave the governor an opportunity to say, well, look it, I tried, I kept this from being enforced. So both sides are able to at least walk away saying, you know, they fought for their constituents here, and nothing actually changes. So I think it's kind of a symbolic fight until you get to the reality here that some local health departments are sort of misinterpreting what happened and making policy changes as a result.
It's time for a break. In just a minute, we'll check in with someone from one of the counties that rescinded its school mask mandate and talk about weighing the risk of losing that funding for protecting public health. We'll be right back.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Like you just heard, Michigan's counties seem to be getting mixed messages from state leaders over whether or not ordering masks in their schools could cost them funding. Berrien County was one of the first to read the tea leaves in the state budget. Yesterday, the county announced a reversal of its mask mandate.
And we did this in order to avoid a loss of funding for the essential local public health services that were threatened in that language included in the budget bills.
That is Jillian Conrad. She's with Berrien County's Health Department. She says that the county agrees with Whitmer. This provision is very likely unenforceable. But
our legal counselors advised that it would need to be held up by a judge, potentially supported by the Attorney General's office, before they would feel comfortable with us not risking the loss of funding.
If we can take a moment to examine the language of this provision in the budget, it says that health departments could lose funding for ordering a mask mandate unless there is also support from the county's Board of Commissioners. Do Berrien County's commissioners seem likely to back a mask mandate?
They do not, no.
Governor Whitmer has said repeatedly now that this provision will not lead to a cut in funding for local health departments, that they're going to get their money. Jillian Conrad, if that's the case, will Berrien County Health Department's policy change?
We're certainly looking for more action to come across the state of Michigan in the coming days. So we will be closely watching any further statements made by the Attorney General's office, or if this is challenged in the court of law and a judge does rule that the language is unconstitutional, I think that would provide the support legally that we would need in order to reinstate the mask order here in Berrien County. At this time, we are really strongly urging our school leaders and superintendents to require masks for their student bodies and staff so that that protection in the classroom can continue.
What was the thinking behind rescinding the order so soon and not waiting to see what might play out in Lansing or if other counties might challenge this?
Yeah, and we do anticipate that there might be further action taken by other local health departments even today about rescinding their own orders, given some of the situations they're facing and the legal counsel they're receiving. We very unfortunately have had a legal challenge to our order and had an ill-timed court date that was actually held this morning on the 30th, making our situation here in Berrien even more complicated with having a mask order in place that a judge might find unconstitutional or illegal, rather, for us to have in place. So a lot of this did have to do with some unfortunate timing of our particular situation in Berrien County.
I guess a lawsuit tells us something, but is there anything else you would say about what reception of the mask mandate has been like in the county?
We've actually had overwhelming support for the mask order from so many parents, from teachers, from school leaders, from just community members, grandparents, saying, you know, we support the layer of protection that masks provide for our students. They have been happy that we've taken that action. School leaders have been relieved that the public health department had taken that action and not left a public health decision up to a school leader. So, you know, we know that there is a lot of support for this in our county. And as I stated before, if there is the legal ruling that would, you know, remove that risk of our funding being taken away from us and our transmission continues to be in the high category as it has been now for over a month, we would absolutely look at reinstating.
Jillian, can you tell us a little bit more about what case numbers are looking like in Berrien County?
Yes, absolutely. We have had high transmission here for over a month since mid-August. And it seems as though that surge that we experienced throughout the month of August and into the beginning of September has dissipated slightly. We haven't quite seen those numbers go down, but we have plateaued a little bit. But we're still averaging, you know, between 40 to 45 new cases every single day. Our case investigators and contact tracers do struggle at times to keep up with that volume of cases. So it is imperative that we have as many layers of protection in place throughout our community, including in our school settings, to make sure we can keep curbing the spread of the virus and protect our health system as well as those most vulnerable to the ill effects of COVID.
Jillian, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that's the Stateside podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's pod was produced by April Van Buren with help from Laura. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.